there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Bobby Sylvester. We're going to be talking about running back tiers today, but first I want to explain how you can dominate your drafts with our award-winning Draft Wizard. The Draft Wizard is an incredibly helpful suite of tools that can sync directly with your drafts to offer real-time pick suggestions. It's like having 100 experts by your side to offer up advice as your draft progresses. It is going to automatically cross off taken players off your cheat sheet, give you alerts about potential ADP reaches, and it can even tell you the percent odds that players are going to be available with your next pick. The Draft Wizard works with all major league hosts and was voted as the best fantasy tool by the Fantasy Sports Trade Association each of the past 2 years. I use it for every single one of my drafts and recommend it to anyone else who wants to get an edge. To check out the Draft Wizard, just head over to fantasypros.com/draftwizard. All right, let's talk some football. Welcome back to the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast with Mike Tagliere, and I'm Bobby Sylvester. We're going to extensively cover the entire running back position today. Unfortunately, we did have to reschedule with John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals as he had a personal matter come up. We, of course, wish him the best as he deals with that. Hey, Tags, how's it going, man?
It's going good, man. It was a little let down, obviously not being able to talk to John, but some things are bigger than talking to a couple of schmucks about fantasy football. So I know we're gonna talk to John soon. So, you know, I hope all is well, John.
So, you know, Tags, earlier this week, I saw the eclipse at totality for over 2 minutes. It was amazing. But this morning, I saw something even more remarkable. I pulled out this BlackBerry from the box. It was like the size of a banana. This thing was huge, Tags.
You got a new phone? Did you say BlackBerry? Those things are still made?
BlackBerry, like the fruit. It was the biggest BlackBerry I'd ever seen.
I don't even eat fruits. I mean, like, so seriously, like me, I'm the worst person to talk to. Everybody that knows me knows I have like a eating level of like a third grader. I kid you not. I have the wrapper. You can hear it right here. It's an Uncrustable. That's what I ate for lunch today.
You know, what is wrong with you? You don't eat fruit. Like, I can understand not eating something green. Like, I'm totally on board with that. I know our content manager doesn't touch green food either. I'm convinced it's like some kind of conspiracy to try to get us to eat this stuff. Like, I walked into my house the other day and it smelled like Brussels sprouts and I almost puked. But fruit, man, fruit's good. It kind of tastes like candy. So I think you should go that direction. Anyway, we covered a ton of news with Sean Corner in the Sleepers episode the other day, but more has popped back up. And I think we have to start with Odell Beckham, Tex.
I think it's probably a good thing. I mean, to start there just because, you know, the injury that he suffered, you know, there are a lot of things coming out in regards to his knee. And as it turns out, it was just an ankle. I think that's the best case scenario. But at the same time, there's rumors now that he's going to potentially miss 1 to 2 weeks. And it's funny because when the injury happened, I said, if it was an ankle, I said, this is high ankle sprains are typically 2 to 4 week injuries, which would put him in doubt for week one. And, you know,
and they can linger the whole season, too. I mean, we've seen it just destroy players before.
Yeah, if they return too soon, it's just going to be a bad thing. So I think it, for a lot of people, what it did is just kind of bumped him down. So a lot of people were taking Odell Beckham over Julio Jones. I was never on board with that, but at the same time, I understood the reasoning. As of right now, Bobby, though, would you draft someone like AJ Green or Mike Evans over Odell Beckham with the, you know, the chance that he misses one or two games?
You know, I was the guy that was drafting Odell Beckham ahead of Julio Jones. It was pretty close for me, but this big time changes it. He's behind Julio Jones now. I'm thinking about AJ Green. Like, if my draft was tonight, I'd probably still take Odell Beckham. But, you know, if the news comes out that he's going to miss week one, yeah, I'm moving AJ Green ahead of him. If he misses 2 weeks, I'm moving Green and Evans and maybe even Devontae Freeman ahead of him. I mean, 2 weeks is a pretty big deal.
Wow. I mean, yeah, it really stinks to start your season out like that. It definitely does. So it's just a crazy thing, and we have to pay attention to it. But from watching what actually happened, it really did look like it was going to end up like a high ankle sprain. So I actually err on the side of caution here as well. And if I was drafting today, I might go Evans or AJ Green over him. But I mean, it'd be tough pressed to do so. But he's still, in the end, he's still a first round pick. So it really depends on where you fall in your draft is what it comes down to, and whether or not you're going to get a chance at Odell Beckham.
Yeah. Plus, he was staring at the sun. I actually had some people ask me if that changes my my strategy on drafting him. I don't know if they were being serious, but no, it doesn't.
There was a picture being circulated that he definitely looked at the sun without glasses. And there was a picture of Julio Jones wearing some ones for the eclipse. And people are said, in case you were wondering who the best wide receiver in the NFL was, in case you needed any more proof, it was Julio Jones. So
meanwhile, Antonio Brown probably doesn't even know that the eclipse was going on. He was probably like running a mountain somewhere.
He was probably just looking for Le'Veon Bell and asking him when he was going to come back, which, by the way, we have we have an answer to that now, right?
Yeah, we do have an answer. He's going to be back September 1st, and hopefully he's fully healthy. He is the best player in fantasy football this year.
Yeah, I mean, for me, some people have asked me if I move him down my boards because he's going to miss the entire preseason. Absolutely not. If anything, it just makes him come in.
That actually makes me happier about it. Like, what happens? Look what happened when Odell Beckham went out there and played. Do you really think Odell Beckham needs some reps in real game situations? Just put him out there week one and don't risk it.
Agreed. And especially when you're not returning, when you're not like playing in a new offense. Like, if you have Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, you need to get out there and get some reps in his offense because it's an entirely different scheme and all that stuff. I get that. But, you know, in terms of Le'Veon Bell, he's in the same offense. We know what he's going to do. It's like, you know, coming off of his suspension, people were worried, are they going to ease Le'Veon Bell in? I think they answered that with a resounding no.
yes,
I mean,
you're
Bobby,
right.
Do you watch Hard Knocks?
No, I don't watch Hard Knocks. Sorry.
Okay, so I do watch it. And like, basically, you get to see what these guys go through in practice. And it's just like Mike Evans is out there. DeSean Jackson's out there running sprints because of everybody else jacking around on the offense. And I just like, you know, Le'Veon Bell is missing this stuff, right? He doesn't have to deal with that crap. So for me, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he keeps himself in phenomenal shape. We've seen this guy before. So for me, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson up top, I think that's a guarantee. But for me, Le'Veon Bell is my first pick.
So Le'Veon Bell is a freak. Like, if you look at him, he's just a freak of nature, incredible athletic ability. But there's someone who is a better athlete and he's bigger. And his name's Chris Carson. CJ Procise has a groin injury, and Chris Carson is gearing up for week one work tags. I'll tell you what, I looked at his combine. Carson's a better athlete than Alvin Kamara, who everyone's just raving about. I'm growing more and more convinced this could be a future stud.
Yeah, Chris Carson's someone that I kind of overlooked in the draft process. He wasn't like considered to be a top 10, top 15 or even top 20 draft prospects. So I didn't watch too much tape on him, so I'm not going to sit here and say that I know a whole lot about him. What I do know is that Pete Carroll gives a crap less about your contract. So if Eddie Lacy doesn't perform, he's not going to play. And so to see him not start in week one, he was behind Thomas Rawls, and to see him not start in week two behind Carson, it's a problem. So Eddie Lacy for me is dropping rapidly down my draft board. And, you know, we've talked about
him 40 spots tags.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, when everything started, you know, when he was there, like maybe a month ago, I was willing to say Eddie Lacy was like, he was a high end RB3 with some upside. Now it's kind of gotten to the point where it's like Thomas Rawls is definitely the value. But then I wanted CJ Procise, and now he has an injury. You know, this has been an ongoing
knock.
And it's
pretty serious, too. They're concerned about it.
Yeah, they're always concerned about it because CJ Procise can't seem to stay healthy. This is a guy that I was projecting as a potential sleeper in drafts. And I'm slowly having to back away because if he can't stay healthy, healthy, it's a problem. I just love the role that he was supposed to have on this team, whereas guys like Eddie Lacy and Thomas Rawls, and even Carson to an extent, they may cancel each other out in terms of it's not a very good offensive line. They're not going to do much running the football anyway. So it's upsetting. The ProSize news is most upsetting of the day for me.
Yeah. You know, I heard Pete Carroll had Chris Carson graded as a second round pick. And Most people thought this guy wasn't going to be drafted at all. I mean, obviously, Carroll knew we didn't have to draft him in the second round, but he loves this guy. He says he's his favorite player on the team. And that's really saying something. I mean, Pete Carroll does whatever he wants. And if Chris Carson goes out there in week one, he gets six touches and he puts it together, I guarantee Pete Carroll's going to give him a bunch of touches.
And you know what's crazy about this is, like, it's overlooked. And it was a Doug Baldwin interview. It was like a week or two ago where he was interviewed and they asked him about Carson. He said that he is one of the most intelligent players he's ever been around, especially for a rookie. There's a lot of tea leaves around this, kind of like saying that Chris Carson, he's working on stealing that job. So if you're out there in a dynasty league and he's still out there on the waiver wire, which I know he was in a lot of my leagues, get out there and pick him up.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a guy that I'm growing on. I'm drafting him in standard leagues in the 15th round, just in case. We'll see what happens. Maybe he's Alfred Morris 2.0. Tej, do you have any other news?
All right, so the last piece of news we wanted to touch on is, obviously, it may be the biggest news of the day, is that the Browns quarterback's position has apparently been solidified, and that it's going to be DeShone Kizer. DeShone Kizer is going to start the third preseason game, and Hugh Jackson basically said it's his job to lose. Bobby,
not
what is
Brock
this?
Osweiler? I can't understand that. Why would they not give it to Brock Osweiler? Can't even say it with a straight face.
You know what's funny is that Hugh Jackson was actually asked, they go, what does Osweiler need to do to win the job week one? And his response was, I think that's a great question for our general manager.
Oh, man, that is an awesome response. You know, really, I think this job should belong to Cody Kessler. He did not have an incomplete pass in that game, and he was fine last year. He's a good game manager. They must be infatuated with DeShone Kizer.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's insane. but I'm laughing about it, man, because it's just, I think that this is going to fit some of the safer players like Duke Johnson if he's going to play out of the slot like they've talked about. I think it should help Corey Coleman. He's got a younger quarterback that, I mean, maybe they'll have a bond together, whereas Kenny Britt is the veteran. It's really interesting. I think they're going to put him out there for extensive action in preseason week three, and I think that we need to watch this game. Like, you need to make it appointment viewing, like sit down in front of your TV and actually watch to understand what Kizer's doing, who he's targeting now that he's going to be playing with the first team offense, because this is an opportunity he hasn't really had to this point. So I'm really, really intrigued by this, and I think it's going to affect a lot of the draft stock that I have with, you know, some of the skill position players.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of losing interest in Duke Johnson. I'm still drafting him, but I'm not reaching for him like I was before, because it seems like they don't really have interest in running in between the tackles, because Matt Days is emerging. I know Isaiah Crowell's banged up, but it looks like they're trusting Matt Days, who's a guy that, you know, I've considered a sleeper in much deeper leagues, and I like him a fair amount. I'm not going to draft him in a standard 12 or maybe even 14-team league. But he's someone on my radar behind this offensive line, and it just seems like Duke Johnson, they've just got him in the slot and is the third down running back.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see for sure with Duke Johnson moving around and Isaiah Crowell. You know, we've talked about Crowell on this show. We talked with Chris Harris about it, and he's one of the bigger film guys that we talked to on the show. So, you know, to hear him kind of agreeance with that, in that Isaiah Crowell is not on a different talent level.
He's mediocre.
It'll be interesting to see, you know, how he does behind this offensive line and whether or not they can get healthy. That's another concern. So I just can't wait to watch this Browns game, which sounds really weird, but I really can't.
Sticking with the Browns, and we really shouldn't do this too long before our listeners vomit, but Josh Gordon could be reinstated within a month.
Like, I don't know.
Is there a chance that Josh Gordon is reinstated? And if he is, like, if he was reinstated today, how high would you draft him, Tex?
First off, guys, don't go out there and draft Josh Gordon right now. But
no, I'm not saying that. Right. I'm just saying it's worth talking about. Like, it's interesting. It could happen.
I definitely agree with you, Bobby. And that's the thing. I think it's a great question, saying if he were reinstated today, where would I draft him? Because, I mean, the Browns, do they cut him? Let's pretend he stays in the Browns and he's reinstated. there is Kenny Britt there. There is Corey Coleman there. It's going to take some time, man. This guy's been out of football for a couple of years now. So for me, he's strictly an upside play that you grab on your bench. Some people will definitely draft him higher than I would, but I would put him down in the tier with guys like you know, Kevin White, Josh Doctson, Devin Funchess, like that territory, because those are all guys that, you know, if you get something out of him, awesome. But you're not expecting like wide receiver one production out of those guys. So I think he belongs in that tier. Yeah.
You know, I'm more of an upside guy than you, so I would have him a little higher than that. I also have Kevin White a little higher than that. So, yeah. You know, it kind of makes sense. Yeah, I think he's virtually the same as a Kevin White. He's got legitimate, you know, top 18 wide receiver upside. And I think he would probably be drafted around 70th overall. And there is no way I would do that. What if he fell to the 11th, 12th round? Yeah, I'd probably pull the trigger.
Yeah, for sure. That's basically where I get it. And that's the thing is, like, we know we're never going to get guys like that because we're unwilling to pull the trigger. It's just like in your redraft league that you go to, your home league this year, and, you know, Adrian Peterson's taken in the 4th round. It's not to say Adrian Peterson's a bad fantasy pick this year, but in the 4th round, you should not be drafting Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. So we've got a couple contests going on right now for the listeners. Entries for the Listener League and Friday night. I'll be contacting the winners over the weekend for next week's draft. And if you want in to enter, email just 10 words to contest@fantasypros.com about why we should let you in. And the Wild League settings, if you want to look, are on my Twitter. It's the pinned tweet at Bobby Fantasy Pro. The other contest is from pristineauction.com, and it's for a signed Odell Beckham jersey. All you have to do to enter is subscribe and review us on iTunes, then screenshot it to us at contest@fantasypros.com. Your review nets you entries into all contests and giveaways for the rest of the season. Okay, Tags, this is going to be a task. We've got like 60 running backs to cover here. You ready to cruise through this thing?
For sure, man. I'm ready to talk about some running backs.
So we're going to go tier by tier here, and we're going to start in the first tier. I think it's just David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell. I know people are wanting to lump LeSean McCoy in there because of the void that Ezekiel Elliott left, but it's not even close. I don't think he's anywhere close to these guys. I think his VBD is going to be 80 points lower.
I agree with you 100%. I don't think LeSean McCoy belongs in that discussion. I don't think it's... Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's very... I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I mean, LeSean McCoy is probably going to be a top 8, top 10 running back. I'm a little worried about Rex Ryan leaving. They're not going to get 28 rushing touchdowns this year. LeSean McCoy has been fragile the past couple of seasons and just gets banged up fairly easy. He doesn't see like a bell cow load like David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell and a couple of these other guys do. So I just don't really... I have Devontae Freeman ahead of McCoy for what it's worth.
Here's my stat I'm going to leave everyone with, and this is an important one. Over the last 10 years, there have been 58 running backs who have played at their age 29 season, okay? LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray are both in their age 29 season. So again, over the last 10 years, 58 players. Just one of those players finished as a top five running back. So when you see DeMarco Murray being drafted at number 6, when you see LeSean McCoy being drafted at number 3, it should perk up your ears and say, wow, is it really worth this risk? And if you want to bet on LeSean McCoy, I have no issues with that.
I'm betting on the offensive line with McCoy. It's not so much McCoy. I think he's maybe 6th, 7th most talented running back in the NFL.
I think McCoy is very talented. Like, he's such a shifty guy. But, I mean, at age 29, with all the carries he's had in his body, with the lack of talent now that he has in Buffalo, you know, there's a problem there. The offensive line is really good. There's a chance that he's traded. There's so many ifs, ands, or buts about it. But in that range of the draft, I think you and I agree, Bobby, in the fact that we're taking the elite wide receivers over LeSean McCoy. So, I mean, unless I'm drafting, you know, 10th or 11th in my league and, you know, he's still on the board, I'll take him there. But it's very unlikely that he's going to last that long. So again, approach with caution with drafting LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray as top 6 running backs.
So we're not even really going to touch on David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell. We did the last episode with Sean Corner. We just have too many running backs to cover.
Yeah.
But let me ask you about this. We've got Melvin Gordon, Devontae Freeman right behind McCoy. You have McCoy ahead of these guys?
I do. I just think that he's a vital part of that offense, that he's the only way they're going to move the ball. Mike Gillisley going, it's going to give him a few more goal line opportunities. Again, that offensive line's fantastic. Devonta Freeman, as much as we want to, I love Freeman. I've talked about on the show and the fact that I think he's a top 5 running back in this league in terms of all around. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that Kyle Shanahan leaving isn't a big deal, because this was not the top scoring offense in the NFL before Kyle Shanahan went there. You know, it's not. So I have my concerns there. I have bigger concerns about Tevin Coleman. I still like Freeman quite a bit. And I think he's one of the safer running backs that you could take in, you know, in the top two rounds, because that tier with Devonta Freeman, I mean, Bobby, answering from this, like Melvin Gordon, Devonta Freeman, let's go outside Devonta Freeman. Melvin Gordon, Jay Ajayi, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, DeMarco Murray, Jordan Howard, and that's basically it in terms of the top two round running backs. Which one do you really feel confident when you take in a draft?
Confident? Question marks about all of them. Yes. All of them. The one I feel the most confident about is Leonard Fournette, because he's the best running back of all of them. Mm-hmm. And because they're committed to running the ball, he's going to be the bell cow. I bet he gets 300 touches this year. We haven't seen him do it before, so it seems the scariest, but I think it's the safest.
You know what's crazy, Bobby? And I know that I think you were attached in this tweet. Someone tweeted at me in regards to Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. Were you on that one, or did you tweet that at me?
I was not. Maybe I tweeted at you. If I did, I'm not remembering it.
Someone threw out the stats for Melvin Gordon and Todd Gurley throughout their first 2 years, and Todd Gurley was leaps and bounds better, right? He's even scored more touchdowns, despite the fact that Melvin Gordon scored touchdowns last year. So it's a bit of recency bias here. And he asked me, he said, why do we view Melvin Gordon as someone who should be taken, you know, a full round ahead of Todd Gurley? And it was something I struggled with. Now, the fact that he's part of a Chargers offense really obviously helps, but he plays like the Chargers offensive line is probably worse than that of the Rams right now, right? I mean, I have more confidence in Sean McVay turning that offense around, whereas the Chargers offense didn't change year over year. Brandon Oliver, I think, is going to have a bigger role than people think in that offense, because he needs to. Like, if you've watched the Chargers off their offensive line block over the first couple of weeks, it's been extremely bad. Like, there has been zero room to run. So, Bobby, I know you're not a Melvin Gordon fan. Would you take Todd Gurley over Melvin Gordon?
No, it's really close. I have these guys number 9 and 10 among running backs, and it's not that I hate Melvin Gordon that much. It's just I like the other guys a little bit more. Like I said, there's question marks with all of them, but I think these are the two least talented running backs in the top 10. Yeah, they're going to get a lot of volume. I think Gordon's going to continue to catch plenty of passes, even though they've added some more passing weapons. I think Todd Gurley's going to catch more passes under Sean McVay. It is really close between the two. I still think Gurley has substantial upside, but he was just so bad last year, Tags, that I can't do it. I can't draft him.
Well, it's like I talked about on this show, our sleeper episode, when I started talking about Tavon Austin, the fact that I think Sean McVay can do wonders. I mean, is it possible that Sean McVay does for the Rams offense what Chip Kelly did to the Eagles offense a few years back? That's an offense, by the way, the Eagles that year, if you remember, Bobby, the Eagles the year before Chip Kelly got there were a bottom six scoring NFL offense. And then when Chip Kelly took over, I want to say that they finished as the number one offense in the next year. I'm not sitting here saying that Jared Goff can lead an NFL offense to number one, but I think they can make strides. I think they've already shown that in the second preseason game, where they kept Goff out there a little bit more. He completed 16 of 20 passes for, I think, 180 yards. Sammy Watkins was out there, a little bit of a decoy. Cooper Kupp, he saw the biggest benefit of that. Todd Gurley looked a lot better. So for me, when someone points that out to me and says, you know, it's recency bias and just that Melvin Gordon, there's a reason he fell in drafts last year, because he looked like crap his rookie year. If he hadn't scored all the touchdowns and gotten a lot of the receiving work last year, we may be looking at him a little bit differently. So maybe Bobby's onto something, the
I
fact
am.
That he doesn't like Melvin Gordon so much, you know?
You know, I'm starting to grow on this Rams offense a little bit. And like, what is this episode? We're talking about the Browns positively, the Rams positively, but they just looked so good the other day in the preseason. I know it's the preseason, but Jared Goff, honestly, last season, he was worse than Tim Tebow ever was. That's not hyperbole. It really wasn't even close. Jared Goff was maybe the worst NFL quarterback I've ever seen. And this year in the preseason, he looks more than competent. He looks solid. And that's going to help out a lot. I mean, he's got all these weapons, too. So,
and that comes from a guy that watched Blaine Gabbert throw a football. So that's not ideal. But yeah, let's move into the next tier, Bobby, because I'm going to run through this tier. This is the tier that I have set up. It's a bigger tier. This is one of the bigger tiers of running backs. But I want to know kind of which top, maybe the top two or three that you'd take here. So I have Carlos Hyde, Isaiah Crowell, CJ Anderson, Lamar Miller, Marshawn Lynch, Joe Mixon. And then we get to like Ezekiel Elliott, Spencer Ware, Ty Montgomery, and Mark Ingram. Which of those running backs, like, it's a giant tier, but I think this is the ones that you're talking about in rounds 3 and 4 where you're trying to decide on. So give me two of those running backs that you're excited about drafting when you take them.
Yeah, I definitely will in just a second, but first I've got a quick word from another one of our sponsors. It is go time in fantasy football. Take things to the next level with FleaFlicker.com, the platform that serious commissioners and beginners rave about. Commissioners love FleaFlicker for offering tons of flexibility and customization. League sizes range from 4 to 24, so it's perfect for inviting friends, family, and features like email drafts make time management a breeze. League members love FleaFlicker's lightning-fast live scoring, easy-to-use interface, and new mobile app. They've partnered with top names in the industry like Fantasy Pros to provide reliable rankings, projections, and player news. Best of all, it's 100% free. Pick FleaFlicker for a better fantasy experience that's fun and easy, fast, and free. Visit FleaFlicker.com/pros today. That's FleaFlicker, F-L-E-A, Flicker.com/pros. All right, Tags, let me give you these running backs now. I actually think Ezekiel Elliott belongs in the next tier, and I mentioned this last episode, but we're not looking at an overall fantasy points for the full season. We're looking from week to week how he does as a value above replacement. If he misses 6 weeks, I understand you're going to be in bad shape, but those other 10 weeks, he's going to be plus 6, plus 8, plus 10 above replacement in projected points. And that's just too good to pass up. I mean, that's still a plus 80 VBD player, and that's a top 15 player last season. So I think he should be drafted right within the top 18 picks, and I've got him ahead of Todd Gurley. I've got him ahead of Melvin Gordon, and I've got him right neck and neck with Jay Ajayi and Jordan Howard. So he's by far the number one for me, and after it, it's I've got to say it's Lamar Miller, and I'm not happy about it. I'm probably not going to get Lamar Miller in any drafts, but he's the guy there.
Yeah, it's really weird. The running back position kind of goes down a tube, and that's why, you know, when we talk about guys like Todd Gurley in the second round and people saying, you know, he doesn't seem like he's a second round pick, he does, just because of the fact that the running back position gets so muddy that you want to get guys who are guaranteed the job. And Todd Gurley, there is legitimately 0% chance that he loses carries to anybody else on that roster. Whereas you get to Lamar Miller and, you know, Deontay Foreman, he may lose carries. Marshawn Lynch, they want to limit him to 200 carries. Joe Mixon, he's obviously sharing carries. Spencer Ware has Kareem Hunt there that it's a concern. Ty Montgomery, you know, you get here and you're just like, man, you can make the case for guys going in the, you know, sixth, seventh round that should be going in the same exact tier because, you know, they're going to get roughly as much many touches. So it's really a cluster. And I think that's why for me, you really, really want to get at least one of these top dogs at running back.
Yeah. So which of these guys do you like? Like, is Lamar Miller your number two behind Elliott, or do you not even have Elliott that high?
I don't have Elliott that high. I'd take Carlos Hyde over him. And that's the thing. I have Carlos Hyde ranked higher. Would I draft Carlos Hyde over Ezekiel Elliott? I don't need to, because I know that I can get Hyde in the fourth round. You can get Hyde in the fifth round a majority of the time, but I'll take him in the fourth. It's funny because I got on the clock the other day in a draft with Jake Seeley, and he goes, oh, this is an auto pick for Mike. It's automatically going to go to Hyde. He knew it, and I'm okay with people knowing that, because in the fourth round, you're getting a steal on a running back who is guaranteed to get a lot of work. And, you know, the argument that people could say about Hyde is that he's on a bad offense. It's a bad offensive line. Yeah, you know, that's the same thing that it was last year there. And did he overcome a lot, and can things change? Of course. I think Kyle Shanahan obviously helps Carlos Hyde. Kyle Shanahan has known to be a run game guru. He said that don't worry about too much about scheme, because if you're a good running back, you'll be able to run the ball in any scheme, including mine. So, you know, they've gone out and said Carlos Hyde is the man. Now, the stat here is that, I said it before on the podcast, but it's been a little while, there were 22 running backs who had 190 or more carries last year. Every single one of them finishes a top 24 running back. Every single one of them. So Carlos Hyde, do you want to sit here and tell me that Carlos Hyde is not going to get at least, it comes out to 12 carries
floor,
a game?
And it's probably quite a bit higher than that. I think his floor is right around where he's being drafted, number 17 running back.
That's exactly what his floor is. And that's why for me, I think he's at the top of this tier. And another one that I would say who is going a little bit undervalued is CJ Anderson. You know,
yes, I've got Anderson right there after Lamar Miller. I've got him ahead of Isaiah Crowell, Marshawn Lynch. I even moved him up above Joe Mixon. I just think he's a safe play with big time upside.
For sure. And he's been a guy that's been getting it done. Now, granted, health is a concern with him. And again, you know, we have to take the risk sometimes, right? Because he's a guy who's guaranteed to get 200 plus carries. So he's one of those guys. And everybody wants to talk about Jamal Charles, Devontae Booker, D'Angelo Henderson. These are all guys competing for the backup role behind CJ Anderson. The fact that Trevor Siemian was announced the starter of the Broncos, it helps someone like CJ Anderson because he brings some stability to the offense. He's not going to win them weeks. But, you know, the Broncos this offseason, offseason, everything they've done is build the offensive line to run the ball. So, you know, CJ Anderson is a guy they obviously value very highly. And I would argue that he belongs ahead of Isaiah Crowell. I have them right neck and neck next to each other. And I just don't see any chance that anybody behind Anderson jumps in front of him. Devontae Booker was awful last year. Henderson is a rookie. Jamal Charles, reportedly, he may not be on the roster come opening day. He's got basically a week left to prove what his worth, and he has yet to play in a preseason game. When a guy has not essentially played football in a year and a half, and he's still missing time competing for a roster spot, that's a problem. So for me, Jamal Charles, it's just not there anymore. So CJ Anderson is safer than most people think.
Yeah, we've talked about Marshawn Lynch quite a bit. I'm not going to touch on him. We've got the rookies, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey. For me, I think Mixon is far and away the best. I don't know if he's going to get the most work. I think Dalvin Cook is probably the safest because we can trust he's going to get the most work. But Joe Mixon, I mean, you draft him and he gets 250 touches, you hit yourself a home run because this is an RB1.
For sure. And I don't know if that happens. That's the problem, right? Is that's why he's fallen down my draft board a little bit?
It's 50-50. Yeah, he's fallen down my draft board too. It is a risky pick. I was just talking about this on a radio show earlier today. And Joe Mixon, man, I mean, he can win you a league or he can single-handedly just destroy your team.
And when you spend, you know, a top three pick on him, yeah, for sure. I think the one player who's going on a little undervalued in this tier is Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's a guy who, despite not getting the goal line carries like some people thought he should last year, he still finishes a top 12 running back. And over the final, I think it was over the final 7 weeks of the season, he was the number 7 running back. So, you know, Mark Ingram was getting the job done. Adrian Peterson coming there is going to be a little bit upgrade of a version of Tim Hightower. So that doesn't necessarily mean that Mark Ingram just goes away. So to see him, you know, down here, he's already made it work in a timeshare. We know he can produce in a timeshare. So I don't think you should run from Mark Ingram either.
I agree. I mean, if Adrian Peterson wasn't there, he'd probably be being drafted in the top 13, 14, because he's just been so consistent. He'll still be consistent with Adrian Peterson there. We can trust him in the Drew Brees offense. And Tags, there's two other guys I think belong in this tier. You actually may have mentioned them, but I don't recall. I'm reaching for both Mike Gillisley and Bilal Powell. You know, if I have these guys as my number 2 and number 3 running backs, I couldn't be more happy. I mean, we know Gillisley was extremely efficient behind a great offensive line. He's still probably going to be efficient. He's very talented. He was great on the goal line, better than anyone else in the NFL in the past 2 years. The Patriots run the ball on the goal line more than anybody else. Even if he's not a 3-down back, and he's not going to be, because they've got Deion Lewis, they've got James White there, all kinds of other pieces. If Mike Gillisley gets 200 touches, I see no reason why he can't be a top 10 running back like LeGarrette Blount was last year. Gillisley's better. And then Bilal Powell. I mean, Matt Forte is missing time, and I know he's going to come back and steal some touches, but Powell was one of the most efficient runners in the NFL last year too. I think he's going to get quite a few touches. He's one of the best receiving backs in the NFL, and he's being drafted running back 27 right now. Not for me. I'm taking him in the 6th.
So I think it's funny you mentioned all this. Dalvin Cook is someone who I've slid into the tier above these guys, but this tier of running backs is my next one is McCaffrey, Paul Perkins, Mike Gillisley, Bilal Powell, and Amir Abdullah. So it really depends on how you want to run your team, right? If you're looking for upside, don't draft Bilal Powell. And I know that people are going to throw out how he ended last season. I get it, guys. There was a whole lot of garbage time. Matt Forte was
the Jets. Pretty much...
Exactly. And that's the point is like, it's not a high scoring offense. He's not going to get many scoring chances. I was going through the NFL's next gen stats that they released just a couple days ago. And Bilal Powell was someone who saw 8 or more defenders in the box. It was like 10% of the time. It was a very minimal number. They don't have receiving threats that they used to have where he's going to see a lot more stacked boxes in front of him. I just don't think the upside's there. I think he's a very, very safe low-end RB2 in that range for sure, especially in PPR formats. But if you're looking for upside, I would say McCaffrey and Abdullah are the two that you should be chasing here. Mike Gillisley concerns me, you know, him missing a lot of time. And, you know, we talked about this with Le'Veon Bell. We're not worried about him missing practice because he knows the system. We've seen him in that system. The team knows him. Whereas the Patriots, they don't. They've never had Mike Gillisley on the field. So the fact that he hasn't played in the preseason game, it's allowed guys like Rex Burkhead to establish themselves. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Rex Burkhead's the starter and he's the one you should get. He's a lot cheaper than Mike Gillisley, though, which is the case that should be made. Gillisley, if I was guaranteed him getting 200 touches, I'm right there with you. I draft him as a top 15 running back. But with this Patriots offense, man, it's just getting cloudier and cloudier by the day. But Amir Abdullah.
I mean, is it going to surprise you if someone like Deion Lewis ends up leading this backfield in touches?
No.
Bill Belichick does whatever he wants. I mean, seriously, He could go pick up Carlos Williams and make him the starting running back in week 5. And nobody would be surprised, because that's the crap Bill Belichick does. And he wins with it. Like, I'm not saying it's stupid or doesn't work, but for fantasy owners, man, it is annoying. So I love Gillis Lee's upside, but it's scary. It is really scary, Tex.
Mike Reese, he's the Patriots beat writer. He's one of the bigger beat writers from the Patriots. He was saying that basically every single running back is going to have a role in that. Every single week, you're going to have a difficult time projecting it. I don't know. That's not really different from years past. I guess last year was probably the most predictable the Patriots offense has ever been in terms of backfield. It was like James White was working out of the passing game and LeGarrette Blount was the goal line back who was going to see, you know, the time killing. But this year,
Stephen Ridley had a great run back then too. That was reliable for a while.
Yeah, him and Shane Vereen, that mix up. But I really would rather deal without the headaches of Mike Gillisley at this point. So I would probably draft a guy like Amir Abdullah over him, just because I think he has some serious breakout potential. I think we forgot how good this kid actually is when he's on the field. Now, health has been a concern, but I'm excited to watch him in a full season on a team that can, you know, they can go 3 wide. Where if, you know, we talked about Bilal Powell and the fact that him with the Jets last year, with spreading the formation, going 3 wide an awful lot, you'll see a lot of, you know, small, like not many defenders in front of you. And I think Amir Abdullah can be one of those guys. So I'm interested, man. Definitely interested.
McCaffrey's getting so much hype. People forget Amir Abdullah is every bit as electric as Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this dude was turning heads. He had so much hype. Post-hype sleeper there.
I was laughing. I was in the chat with someone the other day, and they started talking about McCaffrey and what he did to the linebacker. Like, it was a film, a little clip that McCaffrey, he juked a linebacker out of his shoes, essentially. And I'm like, guys, it's a linebacker. If he wasn't juking a linebacker out of his shoes, we'd have some serious issues, right?
Yeah.
He does create mismatches and stuff like that, but I'm just really concerned. I said just moments ago that 22 of 24 running backs who finished 22 of the top 24 running backs last year all had 190 or more carries. That would mean Christian McCaffrey needs to do it in other ways, because there's no way he gets 190 carries with Jonathan Stewart healthy and on the field. That's just not going to happen. So McCaffrey, the ceiling is limited just because of the way that it seems that they're planning to use him.
Yeah, it's limited. He's not going to be a top 8 guy. I could definitely see top 15. In fact, I'm projecting top 15. So I like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
So we're going to move on to the next tier, and we're going to be talking about a few of my favorite targets here in a second. But before we do, let's talk about yourrules.com. Before you just go and use the same commissioner service as always, there's a hot new site that's offering some incredible new customizable features. Instead of just set it and forget it, with yourrules.com, you've actually got the ability to manage the outcome of your weekly matchup. They're the first site out there to offer a fantasy experience that's much closer to how a real football game is managed. I've been using yourrules.com to take advantage of some of these features this preseason. If you want to learn more about in-game substitutions, points for penalty yardage, and the unique ability to handle injuries, head over to yourrules.com and register for the 2017 NFL season. Your Rules is fantasy sports your way. That's www.yourrules.com. Okay, so Tags, this next tier is it's fairly ugly. I mean, Tevin Coleman at 24, that's his ADP. There is no chance I'm taking him in my top 30. Touchdown dependent, big time regression coming with Kyle Shanahan gone and all the touchdowns going backwards. Frank Gore, right now the experts have him at number 26, ADP number 33. I think he's the big value in this tier. And then, you know, I love Doug Martin, who has just looked incredible again this preseason. Could be an RB1 every single week after he comes back.
I am coming around on Doug Martin quite a bit.
Yes.
After watching him a little bit in the preseason, he looks like the running back that we've seen like almost every other year, right? Like, he has some serious ups and downs. And he's another guy who's on Hard Knocks that I watch, and I try not to get too caught up in the fact that you get attached to people personally. But it seems like Doug Martin went through some serious stuff, like in terms of going and checking into rehab and getting over some issues that he was dealing with. He's not going to be handed the job, and that's a good thing. I think that it's a good thing for running backs to have competition. And I think Doug Martin is easily the most talented running back on this roster, regardless of how you feel about
Jaquizz
Rodgers.
I mean, he's probably more talented than Todd Gurley, don't you think?
I don't know. I think they're different running backs. I wouldn't say, I don't want to say more talented than Gurley, but I think that Doug Martin, I don't think he's I don't think he's an average running back. I think he's above average in terms of his talent level. So I think he'll win this job. He's going to miss 3 weeks, but at the same time, this tier you're talking about, it's filled with guys like Eddie Lacy, like Tevin Coleman, who I don't want any of. Frank Gore, he's a boring fantasy option.
Paul Perkins, who's just getting crushed in the preseason. He looks horrible. That offensive line looks horrible.
Well, that's also the fact that it has to do with the starters not playing and them seeing different defensive fronts than they will come game time. When you have Odell Beckham, Brandon Marshall, you know, Sterling Shepard, you know, everybody on the field at the same time, it'll be a little bit different. We knew the Giants offensive line was bad. We've already kind of known that for a while. But for me, Frank Gore, I've said it and I'll say it again. He is a puddle, like a little drip. You know, when you stand out in your driveway and, you know, it just got done raining and these little drips come down from the roof and they come down, right? And you see them dripping in a puddle. That's Frank Gore right now, okay? Where Marlon Mack is lightning in a bottle, like waiting to come out. And we saw it in the second preseason week, and it's not like I'm just saying this because that just happened. I say it because we saw it on tape with Marlon Mack. He's not going to be an in-between-the-tackles runner that's going to be as consistent as Frank Gore. Frank Gore at this point in his career is consistently mediocre. The Colts need better than that. They need someone to break plays out of that backfield. They don't need Robert Turbin either. On the goal line, that's fine. He's going to get it done there. But I'm talking about in between the 20s. Who do you have on the field? Frank Gore is not meant for this offense. The defense is still really, really bad. The offensive line is not good. But that's why Marlon Mack, he's a guy that deserves a bigger opportunity because that's what they need in that offense. So Frank Gore, I won't own much of. I just think that he's good enough to win you fourth place in your league, and that's not what I aim for. But Martin, I take over Gore every single day of the week. Adrian Peterson, I think Adrian Peterson has value even with Mark Ingram out there. But if something were to happen to Ingram, where over his career he hasn't been very durable in terms of Mark Ingram, I think Adrian Peterson can live up to RB1 status. I know people want to scoff at that, but I don't think that you can rule out Adrian Peterson being a monster. You know what I mean? He's superhuman.
What is the ceiling here? Let's say Mark Ingram goes and gets hurt in the last 2 weeks of the preseason. Adrian Peterson gets the entire year of carries in this great New Orleans offense. He could be a top three running back, right?
He's LeGarrette Blount better. He's a better LeGarrette Blount. This is the Saints offense consistently produces top five in terms of running back fantasy points. That's why you see guys like Travaris Cadet, you know, scoring more than you had thought. It's also possible that Alvin Kamara has a bigger role than we think. But
good
Adrian
point.
Peterson, yeah, I do think that if something happened to Mark Ingram, I would not say it's out of the realm of possibilities where Adrian Peterson scores 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's right at the top of this tier for me. I've actually got Doug Martin in the tier above this that we talked about previously. But Adrian Peterson is far away the top of this tier. Frank Gore is right behind him. And then after that, it is just ugly. I mean, LeGarrette Blount, I don't know if he can hold down this job. I think Corey Clement's going to take it over. Because Wendell Smallwood, when he comes back, is substantially better than Blount. But you talk about someone who's a drip. I mean, LeGarrette Blount is worse than Frank Gore, in my opinion.
Yes, I would actually agree with that. I don't like LeGarrette Blount at all. And I was saying last week that it's potential that I'm underestimating him, maybe. But then you watch the second preseason game, and it was more of the same of LeGarrette Blount. He just looks slow, big. I don't know. I don't like LeGarrette Blount as a running back. I don't think that you can count on him. But my question to you, Bobby, in this tier, we haven't mentioned him, is Danny Woodhead. Would you take...
Banged up again already? He's in his 30s.
But I would take Danny Woodhead, I think, over Frank Gore.
No, it's really... I would take Frank Gore two, maybe three rounds earlier. I would take... We haven't talked about Darren McFadden. I'd take him over Danny Woodhead. I'd take Duke Johnson over Danny Woodhead. I mean, they're the same player. Duke Johnson's bigger. He's in a better offense. Well, no. He's behind a better offensive line. Let me rephrase that. Do not. Nobody repeat that I said the Browns have a better offense than the Ravens. That was a misstep there. But I would take Duke Johnson over him as well. He's a better pass-catching back. I think he's going to get more opportunities than Danny Woodhead. There's quite a few guys. Kareem Hunt, I'd take over Danny Woodhead. I'm not interested. I won't have any shares of Danny Woodhead.
Gotcha. And I understand why you don't want Danny Woodhead, because he's not a sexy pick. Like, literally, I never feel great when I draft Danny Woodhead. But at the same time, this offense needs him really bad. Like really, really, really bad. And if he doesn't produce, that means Jeremy Maclin's like a top 10 wide receiver. I love Jeremy Maclin, but I do think that Danny Woodhead is a little undervalued just because of the perception on him as an actual running back versus the perception on him from a fantasy standpoint. Because, again, he's not like a top 20 or even top 30 running back in my eyes. But at the same time, He's in an offense that's going to, I would say that he's going to be targeted more than Christian McCaffrey. And it's possible that Danny Woodhead sees just as many carries. So, I mean, he's not as talented. I'm not saying that, but, you know, we're looking for volume. And I think that is a guy being taken in that RB 30 to 35 range. I definitely think you could do worse than Danny Woodhead.
You could do worse. There's quite a few people. Robert Kelly, who's worse. Terrence West is just horrible. I mean, I know he's going to get touches, but that guy, he's the worst starting running back in the NFL. Not interested whatsoever.
Wait. Can we stop there and talk about that for a second? Like, have you heard the reports? Our job is to make you guys aware of things that are going on, right? And we all know Terrence West isn't a great running back, right? He's on his third team in 4 years. We know that. But have you heard the reports about Buck Allen? Javorius Buck Allen, the guy who did solid at the end of the 2015 season. He was brought on because there were so many injuries and he needed to take a bigger role. He wasn't great, but he was okay. He's been turning heads in camp. Is it possible, like, it's a greater than 0% chance that Buck Allen outproduces Terrence West? I mean, is that possible?
It's in the realm of possibilities. I'm not going to give it more than a 15% chance. So there's no way I'm drafting, but it's interesting. I mean, while we're talking about this Baltimore offense, I think somebody that hasn't been mentioned at all this year is Max Williams. Do you remember how talented he is? Mm-hmm. Did you see him make that great play the other day? Yeah. They need a tight end, right?
His catch and
Joe
run.
Joe Flacco passes to a tight end quite a bit. If Max Williams gets on the field, this boy can play some football. He's an athlete.
Yeah, he's along with like Austin Safarian Jenkins and Vance McDonald, and my tight ends. And my tight ends that you need to watch. And if they produce like the first week, don't wait to pick them up. Don't wait for them to do it again. Like, just grab them, because those are guys with some talent that can do some damage if they're targeted. So
we saw Gary Barnage move from number 45 ECR to the number 2 tight end 1 year. That kind of stuff happens every single year. There's some guy in the 30s or 20s ADP who ends up being a top 10, top 5 tight end. Max Williams has the talent to do that. Anyway, this is the running back show. So let's move on. There's some boring guys here. Jonathan Stewart, he's probably going to get some touches. I don't know if I would start him any week unless Christian McCaffrey got hurt or something. So I'm not drafting him. I mean, sure, he's a decent.
Hold on, Bobby. Week one, I think people should seriously, and I'm sure we're going to talk about this maybe next week, but people should seriously consider Jonathan Stewart for week one of DFS. They're playing San Francisco in week one.
That's a good point. Okay, week one, I will start him in the flex.
And then trade him
away. I might play him in DFS as well. After that, no interest whatsoever in Jonathan Stewart. I don't think he's startable in the flex, maybe but one or two other times. Matt Forte, not touching him. Not much upside there with Bilal Powell there. Theo Riddick, he's just another guy. There's just nothing super exciting to me until you get all the way down to Jamal Williams, who I'm reaching for.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, this tier, Derrick Henry falls in this tier where it's like, you know, that's where he's being drafted. I think the majority of the time
he's in a higher tier for me. I forgot to mention him.
Yeah, no, we all know he has upside. And I think that you guys are really going to like an article that I put together today. It's going to be out, I think, tomorrow morning. And if, as always, guys, follow us on Twitter if you want updates. We always post our articles when they go live at Bobby Fantasy Pro, myself at Mike Taglier NFL. And when you do that tomorrow morning, you're going to love this article in terms of handcuff running backs. You know, I'm not here to debate with anyone who, like, whether or not you should draft handcuffs, because there's arguments for both sides. I think it comes down to how you've built your team. I think it comes down to league size. I think it comes down to actual talent, who you're playing against, and if you could take chances like that. With that being said, this is the tier where it starts coming into effect, right? It depends on how you want to draft your team. If you want someone who can give you some points now and could potentially be an RB2 with an injury, it's Matt Forte. If you're looking for someone who has some serious upside, Derrick Henry, you know, Duke Johnson, those are the guys who I would be drafting. Even Samaje Perine, these are guys with massive upside should there be an injury, but even though a guy like Perine may not contribute for you right away. So in this tier, Bobby, of these running backs, I'm going to give you a couple here. Samaje Perine, Duke Johnson, Matt Forte, and Theo Riddick. Which running back do you want and why?
It was Duke Johnson. Now it's Samaje Perine. We saw Perine's ADP peak big time. And then there was news that Robert Kelly was going to get touches. It's only a matter of time before Perine takes over, because he's just the superior running back in this backfield. It's a good offense. Perine has great goal line appeal. He's going to be really good in first and second downs. He's got way better hands than Robert Kelly. So I think he has a pretty substantial upside. He could be a low end RB1 if he was to take over the job in week one. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be closer to week 4 or 5. But this is a guy you draft as a backup running back, knowing at some point during the season he is going to take over. I would love to pair Darren McFadden and Samaje Perine. You get them in the 8th, 11th, 10th round or something like that. I think you might have an RB1 with those two combined.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. And we had, talking about strategies earlier on, we were talking with on the Sleepers episode, the last one, we were talking about that, pairing up running backs who are going to have a role early in the season, like Jaquizz Rodgers, you know, guys like that, and pairing them with guys like Samaje Perine, who may not start out the year as a starter, but could turn into legitimate RB1s. And I think you're correct in that assessment, and that Perine, you know, when I watch him, he looks so much like Michael Turner. And like,
that's a great comparison. Perfect tags.
Yeah, like a young Michael Turner with better hands. But at the same time, when I watch Robert Kelly, he's like a bad Eddie Lacy, right? Like he looks like a guy who is running faster than he actually is. He looks like a guy who is breaking so many tackles, but you know, it's because he's not elusive. It's because he can't get away from guys and make them miss. Whereas Samaje Perine, he can run over you. He can juke you. We've seen him, you know, like as a one cut runner. There was a run in the second week of the preseason where he made a one cut, got up the field really quick. There was a passing play. He was able to turn his body, adjust to the ball, and it was like a 28, 29 yard gain, I want to say. So Perine was flashing. If he could lock down the pass protection aspect of it, he's going to be really good. But with that being said, Chris Thompson is their third down back, so I don't know why people are so worried.
Good point. Yeah, he's a good one. He's a really good one.
Yeah, and I don't know why people are so worried about Perine and his pass blocking if he's going to be in there as like a 1 and 2 down back, and Thompson's the third down back there. So I think this happens sooner rather than later with Perine. Kelly's talent, I'm just not buying that at all.
So I think Perine is going to take over the job. I think Kareem Hunt could take over the job. Duke Johnson could take over the job. I don't think Derrick Henry will because DeMarco Murray's there. It would take an injury. There's a couple other guys that it would take an injury. I don't see anyone else that could take over the job just by playing really well. Maybe Marlon Mack, you mentioned him earlier. Maybe a Corey Clement for the Eagles because LeGarrette Blount is just so bad. Or Wendell Smallwood, as I mentioned. Chris Carson, who we talked about earlier in the show. But there's a couple guys' tags that I want to talk about before we move on over. And we've got one good question from the listener mailbag that I want to hit up. There's some players that if the starting running back goes down for an extended time, RB1 immediately. Okay, these names come to mind. Tell me if there's anyone I'm missing here. Jonathan Williams for Buffalo. DeAndre Washington for Oakland. James Conner for Pittsburgh. Yeah, is there anyone else in this tier that stands out to you that I like drafting these guys at the end of the drafts, and if the guy gets hurt, you get a free RB1.
You know what's funny is that in my tier article that's going up tomorrow morning, I did an actual, like, I broke it into tiers, like guys value without injury, guys with, you know, with team scoring into effect, guys with RB1 potential if they get the starting job. And every one of those guys you mentioned fits that category for me. Kareem Hunt is atop the list for me because in an Andy Reid offense, you know, we want to trust these guys. And James Conner was one. Samaje Perine was atop that. Marlon Mack is a guy. But the problem with Mack is that it may take more than just a Frank Gore injury. It might take two injuries, you know, Robert Turbin and Frank Gore. But one more that I would say is if you go down to maybe Rex Burkhead or Deontay Foreman, those are guys.
Yeah,
who,
those are in the conversation. You're right.
Yeah. With New England running backs, I don't think you ever want to fully invest in those guys. But Deontay Foreman, I've mentioned him and the fact that I think he is legitimately a guy who can unseat Lamar Miller if he continues to play like
he
did
better
last
than
year.
Alfred Blue, though?
Yes, 100%.
I don't know, man.
Alfred Blue sucks.
I'm not super impressed with Deontay Foreman either, but I don't know. I got a bunch of crap on Twitter. Apparently, Foreman has a ton of people who love him on Twitter. Anyway, that wraps it up for the running backs. Tags, we've got two great listener mailbag questions. The first one, would you rather get Tom Brady in the third? So this is a full round after Tom Brady's ADP, okay? He drops a full round. Or would you rather get Andy Dalton in the 11th? Which is two rounds before his ADP. So you're either reaching for Dalton or you're letting Brady fall around.
I would much rather have Dalton. And the reason is that there's no scenario possible where I'd take Tom Brady in the third round. Whereas Andy Dalton,
me
as Andy Dalton, like let's say that there's, you know, 14 quarterbacks that have come off the board in the first 10 rounds. I'm willing to take Dalton there because like that's a conversation that comes up a lot. And I think people ask me that. They're like, Mike, what if my league drafts quarterbacks early? it doesn't mean you need to reach and follow the trend. What it means is that if, you know, if you're getting to the point where Andy Dalton is within the next two or three quarterbacks taken, that's when you draft him. So if that falls in the ninth round, if you have to do that, that's how it goes. Because I just don't want to end up with someone like Blake Bortles as my starting quarterback, for obvious reasons. So yeah, no, definitely, definitely a good question, but for me, it's Dalton.
For me, I wouldn't touch Tom Brady until the early fifth round. I've made that clear in a bunch of episodes before, so you can go back and listen to the reasons on that. For Andy Dalton, if I don't have a quarterback yet, he's my guy. I'd reach in the bottom of the 10th round, early 11th, so I'd be very happy with that, much more happy than Tom Brady in the third. If I picked Tom Brady in the third, it would be because my internet died or power went out, or like I had a stroke and fell over on the keyboard and something weird happened. Like, that is the only way I would get Tom Brady in the third. I would be pulling my hair out if that happened. So yeah, Andy Dalton in the 11th is fine with me. And the last question, who should I pick as my backup quarterback for Andrew Luck with all the injury risk?
I've actually written that. That's an article I released today and talking about, you know, my guys this year. Andrew Luck is on that list. As much as people want to talk about the injury and their concern and all that, but yeah, he's one of the guys like I must own. And I think that getting him in the, you know, he's falling into the eighth, ninth round, which is just crazy. You all will look back on this and say, how the hell did we let Andrew Luck fall this far in drafts? But a guy to pair him with is Eli Manning. As much as you don't want to buy into that, his first two weeks, who he's playing against the first 2 weeks, he's playing against the Cowboys, who have lost, I want to say it's four defensive starters at this point. They look awful on defense.
Yeah, they're my second worst pass defense this year. Buffalo Bills number one, Cowboys number two, 49ers number three.
Of course, that does hurt if Odell Beckham misses that game. That definitely hurts Eli Manning, and I'd have to take another look at that. But he also plays the Lions in week two, a defense that is projected to be one of the bottom 10 defenses in the NFL. So
yep.
For me, Eli Manning was the perfect guy to pair him with. Or you could actually look at Tyrod Taylor. I said that I won't draft him, but if you're worried about Luck, which, you know, rightfully so at this point, we should expect him to miss 1 or 2 weeks. Tyrod Taylor does play the Jets in week one, which is, you know, that's a great matchup for anybody.
If I'm drafting a backup quarterback for Andrew Luck, and I probably won't draft a backup quarterback because you can just pick somebody else up and they'll be fine, even if it's for 6 weeks. I mean, I'm really not too worried about running Sam Bradford out as my quarterback for 6 weeks, because it's not going to hurt you that much. It's like minus 1 point for your projections compared to, you know, what you could go out and draft for a backup quarterback. And Sam Bradford actually is my guy. If you look at his schedule in the first 6 weeks, let's say Andrew Luck misses those 6 weeks. Sam Bradford by far has the easiest schedule in the first 6 weeks. All six of them are against bottom 13 pass defenses. And then in week 11, if you're going to hang on to a backup quarterback, I know some people do. There's no way I'm doing it. But in week 11, he gets the Rams. And that's Andrew Luck's bye. So I think he's the perfect matchup with Andrew Luck. And, you know, it's going to be funny when you're rolling Sam Bradford out there as your starting quarterback. But I actually think it's going to work out for you. People are going to be talking about him come week six because of his easy schedule. They're going to say, wow, Sam Bradford is finally breaking out. Can you guys believe this? Then he's going to fall backward. And, you know, it's just inevitable. So it's the same as Derek Carr last year. Derek Carr had an amazing schedule at the start of the season. And everyone was like, oh, he's a superstar. And he's really just not.
Yeah, no, I just looked at it, Bobby. And the other guy that I think you can consider if you're drafting Luck is going with Carson Palmer. Palmer will be on the road. He'll be on the road against the Lions in week one. As I mentioned, not a great defense. And then in week two, he's going to be at Indianapolis against the Colts. So you don't have to worry about weather in either of those games. Then that's a positive as well. So Carson Palmer, pairing him with Andy Dalton or with Andrew Luck, I think that's a great combo.
Tags, this was a lot of fun, man. We're going to have to do wide receivers so we can wrap up this series. We'll hit it up next week. For those of you listening at home, we have another show coming up this week with Jim Sanis of NumberFire.com talking about undervalued and overvalued players. So make sure to tune in for that one before your drafts. Thanks again to the sponsors of today's show, YourRules.com and Flea Flicker. Remember to get your entries in for the Listener League by Friday afternoon and for the signed Odell Beckham jersey from PristineAuction.com. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.